I understand this week is going to be a pretty week. Supposed to be up in the 80s. And it's supposed to start around 82 to 84 tomorrow and then continue on all week. And we may have some thunder showers, but hey, just need to thank the Lord for all the showers that He's brought our way. And we have some things that we need to start doing, and it's right here on us. And we really don't know how it's going to go, but hey, I do know one thing. As long as God's in it, it's going to go His way if we'll allow Him to use us in a way that where His Son Jesus Christ would be honored and glorified. Because that's the purpose of the church. Like I said, I believe it was Wednesday night or last Sunday night, I can't remember now, but we need to remember that we should always, always want to praise the Lord and thank Him for His mercy and thank Him for His grace. You know, we have much to praise the Lord about. And so many things that we do, we take Him for granted. And I know that each and every one of you have been through trials and different things, but I want to look at something here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. For a little while tonight, and y'all know when I say a little while, y'all know that don't mean a thing. So, but I want to bring some thoughts on the thought of chastening or the chastisement of God upon His people. And when I say His people, I'm talking about the ones that saved, born again, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, He went to Calvary for us. He died for each one of us. If I was the only one living on this face of this earth, or if you was the only one on the face of this earth at that time, the Lord Jesus Christ, He would have still went to Calvary. He'd have still went and drug that cross up the Golgotha's hill. And where they had placed upon His head the crown of thorns, and where they had took them three nails. Now, at one time, I heard a whole lot about the three nails, that we had some people singing about the three nails. I don't hear the song much anymore, but it was speaking about the three nails that hung Him there on the cross. And He was hanging there. He had you and me and all the rest of the world on His mind. We was in the forefront of what He was doing. And He said to the Father, He says, Father, I'm doing this for you and your children. See, we can go all the way back to the book of Genesis And we can read in the book of Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and see where God had brought about the predestination, predestined. Now, what the word predestined means is someone that's predestined to go to a certain place. Just like you as an individual, if I wanted you to go somewhere and pick up something, I could use the word predestined. That I'm predestined to you that you will go and pick up the item. Well, the Lord God Almighty, when He performed man, He performed me and you in the image of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. He performed us in that way that where we could have everything that He has there in heaven. That at one time there was God and there was Lucifer. There was Lucifer there and the rest of God's angels was there. But we know that in the reading of God's word that Lucifer got to the point that he knew more than God did. We have the same thing today. We have people claim to know more about what God wants than what God Himself wants. And we see that. We see that within the churches, within individual believers, in the individuals as they have walking up and down the highway or riding up and down the highway. That they don't believe in God, but they do believe that one day that they can get saved. That's what they have got. They have got to this easy believism that yes, they can get saved anytime they want to, which we know that's not true. Because the word of God, Paul says, it's the foolishness of preaching that will draw all men unto who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And they must go through the Lord Jesus Christ before they can enter in the things of God. We know that we have partakers of the things of God. And in chapter 11 here, it says right here, it says in verse 27, it says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endures as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he keep the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroy the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by the dry land, which the Egyptian are saying to do while downward. This right here was Moses speaking, where Moses was speaking about his parents. And we know about Moses and when his mother gave birth unto Moses. We know that she knew that one day there was going to come a time that somebody was going to come and knock on her door, or someone was going to come and raid out her house and find out that she had a son. And in that day and time, if you had a son, He was destined to die. He was destined to die because why? Because of the Egyptian people. That's the reason they went around at that time around the doorpost of each and every home, and they painted right above the doorpost the blood. It was covered in red, but it was covered in the red blood of the children, of the firstborn of that family. And there was the doorpost was covered there with that blood. But by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. After he was born, his mother knew that one day that she was going to see her son Moses die. Die by the hands of Pharaoh and Pharaoh's army. But we see right there also that not only that, that God Almighty had allowed Moses' mother to take him down by the creek or the riverside, whatever you want to call it, back then, and placed his body in a little woven type basket that was daubed in the clay and the mud of the earth. I can go back and I can remember a time when my grandfather, when he was harvesting tobacco, and he would plant tobacco here, and naturally, while he was waiting for the tobacco to grow into stalks to where you would have your first pullings, you'd also see yourself going to the barns there, and you would see where they would have like a box there that they made out of wood. And they would take the red clay of the earth and they would gather that together and put it in that box, and they would wet that clay down. They'd wet it down to the point that all they had to do was just grab it up into a ball, and they would take it and they would sling it towards the barn between the two, the logs that they had in there, that where they would go in and see an open place. They could see the light that was outside, and they would go up there and they would get as close as they could, and they would take that clay or the mud there, and they would start daubing the barn. And they would throw it, and they would cover up the hidden places that was there that would have the light shining through. If it wasn't just but a pinhole light, you had to make sure you closed that up. Because when you started harvesting the tobacco and you brought tobacco in and you put it on and they strung it up and you put it in the barn and everything, that one little pinhole would waste fuel. And it would over cure the tobacco. Because even though you didn't cure it with oil, you chunk it in wood, logs, and everything. But as you done that, you can see the intense of the heat from the stoker, or what they called it back then, that would come forth, that would burn a little hotter. And as it burned a little hotter, yes, the leaves on the lower post, they would start burning up. But she took the same mud that my granddaddy and my uncle at that time, when they was going out here and repairing the barns and everything,
And she took the same identical mud that we took. And we would take it and we would mix it up. And as we was mixing it up, yes, she had already made the straw basket and everything. But she would take it and daub it. She'd take it and put mud all around it on the outside. And she'd leave it out in the sunlight, where the sunlight would bake the mud down to the point that where Moses, when she put Moses, that little child there, in a basket, that she could take it and put it in a water. And the basket would not leak. She would do it on the inside and the out. Just like God with us. God just don't give us what we have on the inside. But He also gives us what we can see with our natural eyes. And what we can see with our natural eyes is the faith that we have through people. Just like, I think it was Wednesday night, I brought this up. Just like that wind coming and blowing, and we can see where the wind is blowing. We know the wind is blowing because we can see the limbs and the tree, they will start bending over. We can see the effect of it. Just like us. People need to see the effect of our life. The people need to see our effect in whom we believe, in whom we trust in, and whom we are walking with. We don't need to go out here and go into these places that where it's sin on every rampant. Because it says, if you go into someone's home and they don't want to listen to you, they say, well, I know all about what you're going to say. I know about it. I must be saved into heaven. I know all about all of that. But I got plenty of time in the world to go that route. But they don't. They don't have that journey. They don't have that time. Time is like a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. Just like yesterday, I believe it was yesterday afternoon, I was looking at the Piedmont Shopper for Thursday. And I noticed in the Piedmont Shopper that they done started putting the obituaries out in there. But all last week and probably the week before, up until that Thursday or that Monday of that week, we've seen people in that of different ages. We've seen people of different faith. We've seen people of different color. But we've seen people that no doubt that was knew that they had a long life to live. You know how long your life is? You know how long my life is? It's the very moment that I'm living in. The very moment that I'm breathing. God has not promised me another day. God has not promised me that I can get home tonight and see my daughter. God has not promised me that. But God has promised me all through His Word that you will have the unsearchable riches, the unsearchable faith, the unsearchable things that He has for us. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at right hand of the throne room of God. The Lord Jesus Christ right here, He is set down at the right hand of God. He is set down. But we can go back several books back of the Bible. We can go back in the book of Acts, and we can go back in the book of Romans, and all of that. We can go back to the four Gospels, and where He once died for our sins, and He gave His life freely. And I'm so thankful that He gave it freely. I sure am thankful that He didn't come to say, "Well, Donnie, before you can have life, and before you can enter into heaven, you have got to purchase something." No. He'd already purchased that price. And with the price that He purchased it with, He pardoned my soul. He pardoned my life. The way I could just completely trust in Him. And you know, like I said this morning, it is hard. When it comes back to you as an individual, when it lands on our feet, if we have never been through it before, we don't know what people are going through. So we should never say, "Well, I know what they're going through." Well, I don't. If you've been through it, then yes, maybe you can. But until you've been in their shoes and walked in the path that they've walked, forget it, you can't do it. I can't do it. The only thing that I can do is just lift them up to the Lord and allow the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the power and the Holy Spirit, that God the Father will give them strength to endure the things that they're going through. People are hurting today. People that you know of are hurting today. And they may not just be hurting in body. They may be hurting maybe for their family, because the family has forsaken them. Their family has done them wrong. But we, as Christians, we as believers, know the one that we can go to. The one that we can go to and ask and to help. Does not mean that we must go and end up worrying the individual or something like that about coming to church, about getting saved, but we must take them to the throne room of God and ask the Lord to do what He needs to do. The chastisement of God. You know, I'm so thankful that I can call myself a child of God. Even with that, I still don't like the chastisement. But he does. Why does he chasten us? Because he loves us. Why does he chasten me? Because he loves me. Why has he allowed the devil to attack my body in the way the devil has attacked it? It's because God Almighty loves me. Because God loves me. And it was hard. It's still hard for me to understand that. Why would God allow that to? Why would God allow something like that to happen? You know, because I got a whole lot I need to do. I got a whole lot of visiting I need to visit. I got people out here I need to see. And I need to go to the hospital, but I can't go when I need to go. I can't be there when the people need me. And I said, well, God, I said, the only thing I can say, you're going to have to intervene. You're going to have to intervene, God, because you know that I don't have the strength and I don't have the stamina now to where I could go. But it says right here, in this verse, next few verses of Scripture, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scorn every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastising, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons? We need to look at the word of chastisement of love and concern. And compassion. Because God does have all of these. And I still have never got over the fact that he loved me that much to save my soul. That he would go to Calvary for me. And even to this day, I don't understand how he could love me enough and see what he could see in my life that I could not see, and I don't understand, still don't understand it today. How I can, as an individual, can get up here and open his word and tell people about how much of his love he wants to give out. He loves us so much. We cannot underestimate God. I can't underestimate God. Because I know God has the power. And he has the love to do what he needs to do here at Faith Baptist Church. I believe it with all my heart. I still have not wavered from that I believe that God has something special for us. And the people that wants to join us, and the people that wants to come in and say, well, preacher, I'm not saved, but
I need to be saved today. If they just come and they get saved, and if they come in and just be faithful unto God, God can move. God can move the mountain of discouragement. God can move the mountain of disbelief. God can move all the mountains that we may face. And if you haven't faced a mountain, just hold on. Just hold on. Because one's about to come. And you have to realize that God's there for you. He wants to help you to be able to face this mountain head on with His help. We need to just lift our hand toward heaven and say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for loving me. Thank you, Father, for allowing your Son to go and die in my place. Because if there's anybody that needed to be on that cross, it should have been me. Should have been you. See, it wasn't you and it wasn't me. He placed His own self on the cross. And He said in one of the scriptures there, He says, and I give up my body. No one takes it away from me. Like the soldiers did back then. They come up and they said, well, now we done took him. We got his body now. And Satan, no doubt, he was sitting on right there on the grandstand, cheering it on. I've got him now. I've got him exactly where I want him. Where he wanted him? No, Satan didn't put him on the cross. Me and you put him on the cross. But he died for us. He didn't give his life for Satan neither. Because hell was created for no one but for Satan and his angels. In which they are not the angels that we think of. They're his cohorts. They're the ones that we, I hear in this world that we see today that is trying their very best to tear down the church. They can't do it. They've been trying to do that for years, in hundreds and hundreds of years, trying to do away with God. But it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Not while we're here. And once we leave, the Holy Spirit's going to leave. And then the world, the United States of America, and the world that we know it for today is going to burn like Sodom. It's going to cleanse its own self. Yes, and we're coming back. We're coming back as His bride. I ain't gonna get no more into that because I got another message on that speaking about the bride and the bridegroom. And hopefully within time that the Lord allowed me to share it with you. But we need to pray harder than we've ever had before.
We need to pray for the lost sinners. We need to pray for our family members. We need to pray for them. Because they have so much more out here to offer today than what was the day that I got saved. And some of you, when you got saved, you would have never thought in your lifetime that you would ever see the things going on like today. I know Brother Ben Poovey wouldn't. I know Brother Billy Sunday wouldn't. I know Brother D.L. Moody wouldn't. Brother Mays Jackson, he wouldn't. All the saints that have gone on before us, they see what's going on today. They know what's going on. And they are praying for us that we can keep our faith and that he can continue on being strong. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this afternoon. And Father, we pray, God, today, Lord Jesus, that you will remind us in Scripture where you say this or you say that, to the encouragement and all the promises that you have given us, Father, that we can look to, that we can hang on to, Father. But Father, we know it's not going to be long. It cannot be that much longer, but I do not know how long, and I do not know the day or the hour. But I do know what your word says. Your word says that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's coming back like a thief into the night. And when he does, he's going to come in and he's going to rob and steal what is so precious to you, Father. And that is your children. Father, we thank you once again to where we can be in thy house. And Father, help us, Lord Jesus, that we can do the things that we know that we need to do this coming week. And Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll continue to touch the bodies today. Father, I know, Lord, that people have sickness, they have problems, Lord, that they don't even like to even talk about. But Father, sometimes we just have to have someone to talk about. We have to share it with somebody, but thanks be unto God that we can come and we can just talk to you and share it with you. And then you can share to us your word through the power and the precious Holy Spirit as he teaches us what the word is saying. Now, Father, go with the invitation. Touch your hearts and touch your lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.